1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be moving through the Bible again, so be ready for it. Can you pray for me today that I'll last? All right. 1 Corinthians 12. Think about these gifts that we've been studying, things that we've been looking at. The purpose of these gifts. Why did God give them to us? Why? What was the benefit? Think about the plan of God, and God always knows what He's doing. Everything He does is right. Everything He does is just and justified and for His kingdom and His glory. But God is not so conceited and self-centered that He doesn't think of the benefit of people, His creation. He absolutely thinks of their benefit. I mean, it rained and it watered the grass of the church. But it didn't just rain at the church. It rained at all these people's houses around here. We had a day yesterday, Lisa and all them guys was doing a yard sale yesterday. We did one last year. It was like 100 degrees outside. That was foolish. Last couple days, Friday and Saturday, boy, that weather was nice.
Yeah.
It started getting hot in the afternoon. People quit showing up, so we packed it up and took everything we had left down to the Goodwill store. Here, you can have this. We don't want it back. So anyway, but the weather was nice yesterday for us out there, but it wasn't just nice for us. There's all kinds of people doing all kinds of things yesterday. In fact, Alan and Cindy came in yesterday, and we went to dinner last night as we drove by the smokehouse up here. That's a little tavern right up top of the hill up here. And they had a bus out there called the Party Bus. And everybody was getting in with their drinks into the Party Bus. And on the back of the Party Bus, it said, what did it say back there?
No regrets.
No regrets. How drunk do you have to get to where you don't regret what you did? But you know, they had nice weather yesterday to do what they did. They had nice weather. It rains on the just and the unjust. God is good to all of His creation. And so the thing is, God knows what He's doing, and He's good especially to His people. So when Christ left, He told us in John 16, He said, I have to go. You don't understand. I have to go. Because when I go, then God's going to send you another comforter. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll do these things. And so it's the comforter which we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. The Bible says the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, they all go hand in hand. They all work together. Everybody gets along. There's a guy out there that hates my guts. And, I mean, he really does. And he accuses me and all of us, I guess, of believing that the Bible's the fourth part of the Trinity. No. But it is the Godhead. The Bible is. Okay? It is God's Word. It is His Son. It is His Spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so we don't detract and pull away from the Scriptures. And so anyway, God, He sent His Holy Spirit, did it on the day of Pentecost. And there were manifestations during those days because they lacked something. They lacked a Bible. In the days of Paul and his evangelism and his missionary efforts, he didn't go to people where they had Bibles in their homes, on their coffee table. He didn't. That's not how it happened. They wanted their doctrine. They had to get it from him personally. They wanted salvation and things like that. There was impartations based upon the laying on of the apostles' hands during those days. There were miracles, and I still believe in them. I believe not only in the miracles that are written here, but I also believe in miracles that happen today. Raise your hand if you have ever experienced firsthand in your life a miracle. Raise your hand. See? Okay? And I absolutely believe that God will use several of His people in churches all over the world to be a conduit of those miracles, to be a physical representation of someone who'll man of God, loves the Bible and he loves the Lord. He was laying in the hospital dying of a disease, of some kind of sickness, and nobody knew what it was. Doctors working on him, they had done every test in the world, and he was just dying. And there was people in the room praying for him. His wife was crying over him, and he was just about gone. And somebody came in the room, a man that they never knew, came in the room and came in and walked over to him and just laid hand on him and prayed for him and turned around and walked out. And they never saw him again. And Jeremy got better that day and lived. He's still alive. Okay? So I believe in that. I believe in that. What I don't believe is the garbage that's boasted about on TBN, the church channel, every other thing in the world. I don't believe that. I don't believe the miracles at Fatima. If you don't know what that is, it's Roman Catholicism. I don't believe in that stuff. I'm going to teach you this morning that there's more than one spirit that can do a miracle. Okay, so let's look at the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another the working of miracles. This is a gift of the Spirit. And again, I say this, if it's a gift, who has to work for it? No one. It's not, it's just something that God has either blessed you with at times in your life, or you just don't have it. It's as simple as that. God is the one who gives it. You don't go sign up for it. You don't go through a ritual and have it. I had a guy wanting to lay hands on me to impart something to me. If I'm in need, and God knows when I'm in need, if I'm in need, then God gives. Can I hear you say amen? If I'm in need, then God gives. And so this is what I believe. Anyway, it's a gift of the Spirit to another the working of miracles. And I don't know, we may get into another prophecy. But I'm just going to read some scriptures this morning and just kind of give you the biblical idea of miracles. Now, we know that Jesus did miracles. Somebody tell me some of the miracles that Jesus did. Huh? Water and wine. That's the first one that he did. First one we have record of in the scriptures. Gary. Sight to the blind. Okay.
Healing the leper.
Healing the leper.
Lazarus from the dead.
Bring him. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sorry. Eyes a little blurry this morning. Yeah, that's a miracle. Yeah. I've cursed several trees in my lifetime. None of them died, okay? Yeah, healed her. Healed that daughter. Jairus, I think his name was. Peace be still. Does that ring a bell?
Calm the water.
Calm the storm, yeah. He just said peace. Be still.
Centurion servant.
Yeah, that was in the days of Moses. Woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Think about that. Think about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Right. She touched the hem of his garment. And her faith made her whole. So where does faith come from? Anyway, let's look at it. Let me give you some scriptures here, run down the verses that I have. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness. Now I want you to understand the purpose of miracles. The purpose of miracles is not to raise money. It's not for ratings. It's not to keep those cards and letters coming in. The purpose of miracles is for salvation, as a testimony to what God's power can do. And I believe in that. And so I asked you to raise your hand a while ago if you've ever experienced a firsthand a miracle. And what that did was that said, you know what, God, you're good. Look at your power. Look at what you can do. So it's confirmed. And then verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 2, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles, various ones, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. So there's a connection here. According to His own will, not the worker of the miracle's will, not the apostle's will, certainly not Benny Hinn's will.
Amen.
Or Rod Parsley's will, or Pope Francis. Certainly not his will, but according to his own will, God's will. And so here's the thing. The charismatic group laughs and mocks at us poor, pitiful Baptist types because we don't get miracles. And the reason why is because we don't believe in them. Now, that's a lie. That's a lie. I believe in them. I've seen God work. I've seen what He can do. I've seen God do things that no man can do. Okay? And they have not all been miracles of healing. There have been things that no man could have done that have been manifested in my life that was an absolute miracle. It manifested God's power. And just thinking about it, I get emotional just thinking about it, what God has done in my life, because no man could have done it. All right? And so the thing is, this crowd out there is telling people that God owes you miracles. That God must perform miracles. He must do this. You're supposed to be healthy all the time. You're not ever supposed to be sick. Okay? And if you're sick, it's because you're obviously disobeying God somehow, some way. Let me tell you something. Of course we're disobeying God somehow, some way.
Amen.
That's why we came to church.
Amen.
That's why we carry a Bible in our hand. That's why we're here, ready to pray, ready to listen to God, because we're not a whole lot of good, but God can do a whole lot of good in us. Can I hear you say amen? But that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you that if you live a perfect life, do everything the right way, then God will release things to you, and because God owes them to you, or God has to do them somehow, some way. But the Bible's clear in Hebrews chapter 2 that God does them according to His own will, which means God either does it or He doesn't. And I couldn't find the verse last night. I was pretty tired when I was laying all this out. Maybe somebody can remember where this is. The Bible talks about Jesus. He could do no great thing because of their unbelief. Does that ring a bell to anybody? There was a certain area that He couldn't go into, and He could do no great thing there because of their unbelief. Huh? It's His own family, okay? And so, clearly, it's related to faith. Faith has a source. And so there are things that God will not do because people just won't believe. It's not that God can't do it, but He won't because they're unbelief. He won't do it. And so it's according to the will of God. If God has done something in your life, it's because it was in accordance with His will. So years ago, we was letting some ladies gather together for a Bible study here at the church, and we had a new convert, and she had family that was in a charismatic word faith type church. They bought her a Spirit-filled Life study Bible. So they're having this Bible study. And the lady, the new convert, brings up in the course of the study, they're studying something about prayer. And the Spirit-filled, these Life Application Bibles are like half Bible and half garbage. They are. They're junk. Don't read them. I've got, in fact, the NIV that I bought Lisa was a Life Application Bible, and it's 100% garbage. It's garbage up here and garbage down here at the bottom. But anyway, it's full of these notes. And one of these notes was, it had the thing on here, and this lady brought this, was reading, not the scripture, she was reading the notes in the Bible study. And what it caused so much confusion, the Bible study, they ended up calling me at home. We need help. And I'm just going, Lord, what is going on here? The notes were saying, do not. That's killing your faith. God won't answer you that way. You will have your faith released if you ever say, Lord, have your will in my life, according to thy will. They said, don't ever say that. Number one, that's rebellion. You know how you can identify witchcraft? Rebellion. That's how you can identify it. And that's the confusion that was brought up in that. Okay? And that new convert, and I didn't go over there and say, you Jezebel witch, get out. I didn't do that. What happened was that her family members swiped her out of this church within 2 weeks of her coming to the Lord. Gone. Okay? That's what happened. And it was over that witchcraft doctrine. And so, and as soon as they read that to me, and I said, well, wait a minute. My Lord prayed that way in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If it be thy will, if it be thy will, if it be thy will, if it be thy will. Okay? And so it is according to the will of God. It is not, these miracles are not up for a stage performance, a big show in a church in order to get people into the seats to put money in the plate. That's not what they're for. They're to show God's power unto salvation. That's what they're for. And they are according to God's will. If God gives to someone in a situation a gift of a miracle, and they pray and God does a miracle, it is not to bolster that person. It is not to uplift that person. It is not to get that person in his own jet. It's to uplift and magnify the work of God in a person's life. Amen? Let's look here. John, I put some different passages down here as things that Jesus did. John 2:11. This beginning, in fact, turn to John chapter 2. I want you to turn there. John chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples, look at it. His disciples believed on him. You see how it works? It's always connected with faith. Faith is always connected with, okay? And so that we see that. And then in John chapter 2, let's see here, 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And again, you always think of Jesus as what? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. In the Old Testament, when you see a prophet speaking something, or you see you're reading a story in the Old Testament and then a prophet comes along, when you see that typologically, you're to see that as your Bible. As that's your Bible showing up to you to tell you something that you may or may not want to hear. That is when you see a king inquiring of a prophet and saying, tell me what the Lord is telling you. That is you seeking out in your Bible some wisdom from God. God, show me how this thing's going to turn out. And I've had situations where I've been in deep distress. Ask God. I believe it or not, a guy was beating me out of a lot of money one time. I loaned him some money. Okay? He used my credit at a paint store, and he wasn't going to pay the bill. And I was really starting to get distressed over it because I didn't have the money to pay it. And my wife told me, you idiot, I'm not paying it for you. You're paying it yourself. I went, yes, dear. And I was deeply distressed over it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And this is really one of the times when God really just began to deal with me about the Bible. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I said, God, show me something in your word. And I opened up and it fell into Psalms. And I don't remember what passage it was, but it talked about the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. And I went, that's not what I wanted to hear. But you know what? He never paid that bill. The Bible was right. I had to sell stuff to pay that bill off. I had to do it. I paid another guy's debt. And the answer, and God was teaching me some lessons. He was teaching me a lot of lessons. But one of them was, Mike, ask the prophet what God is saying, and the prophet will tell you. So that's what you do. But anyway, you go to the, anytime you see Jesus in these stories in the Gospels, he is the Word of God. See, he left. He's at the right hand of the Father. What is with us now? His Spirit and his words. And so the Word of God does the miracles. Faith in the Word of God does the miracles. Let's see here, verse 23 again, John chapter 2. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Listen to this one, Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Think about that. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And I've had people write to me and say, Pastor, we got people around us telling us that we're not screaming loud enough at the devils. Come out! Like that. You got to do that. And I've seen people do that. They make faces and they say loud words and they're very dramatic. Come out! What does this do? It doesn't do anything. What are you, Spider-Man? Don't you listen to me. There have been, there will be times when devils will be walking all over you. And you'll need a miracle. The Word of God makes them go away. I'm telling you, it does. The Word of God makes them go away. They cannot handle His words. The charismatic church, and there are others that are doing it, are convincing people that by proxy now, it can be your words that make them go away. Because you're God. That's what they're telling you. You're a little God. You're God right now. And you can just tell everybody to go away. Now, that may be true. You might be saying, everybody go away! Well, I'm leaving. Okay? Your loud words made me leave. But they'll tell you that that your words can have the same effect as God's word. It's a lie and it's a setup. It's a setup. It was his words. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Remember what we learned a couple Sundays ago. He sent his word and healed them. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. They were astonished at his doctrine. Listen to this. For his word was with power. His word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. With authority and with power. Not with volume. Not with dramatics and theatrics and smoke and lights and everything. Not with that. It's not a magic show. It was Jesus looked at him and he said, hold thy peace and come out of him. That's all he said. hold thy... You know, someone who is in great authority over people and the people who respect that authority, he doesn't have to yell at them. He just says, go. And you know what they do? They go. In the military, if you have someone of high rank and he shows up to the troops and he wants something done, he wants a letter dispatched, he just says, private. Private comes up, take this letter. Takes the letter. He didn't have to yell at him. He didn't have to, I'm the fifth star general. He didn't have to do that. He just says, private, take this letter. And that kind of commandment comes that if you're in the military, if you don't obey the commandment, if you don't obey the order, what happens? There's a retribution. Okay? You're not going to like the consequences if you disobey the order. So you go do it. These devils know the deal. They're afraid of God because they know what God can do. And when Jesus said, hold thy peace and come out of him, they got mad and tore the guy, but they left. They left. Okay? It's just like the guy with Legion. 12,000 devils, if you believe the word, and I do, because that's what the word Legion means. 12,000. 12,000 devils in this guy. And they begged Jesus not to cast them into the pit. They knew the consequences of disobedience. They knew it. And Jesus said, then go into the swine. He cast them into the swine. They ran down into the pit, into the deep. I just think it's funny. Jesus said, what? I didn't do it. Anyway. That, you know what that ought to tell you? See, it says in verse 36, they're unclean spirits. Have you ever seen a hog? How does a hog spend its day? Is it set up on the couch doing its nails? That ought to tell you something about how unclean spirits are. They're so nasty and unclean, pigs don't like them. Pigs wanted to take a bath and wash them off. That's how unclean that is. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, by the we've covered that many times. Then he continues on. He says, are you so foolish, begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things? Yet. Verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How are miracles done? By the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law. And so when we're bombarded, and we are, I mean, these people, this whole charismatic word faith movement, they are deeply ingrained into a lot of places in this world. When we went to Kenya, they were there. They had already been there. We went into a gospel bookstore, just like you would do here in America, looking for King James Bibles. After we waded through Joel, Joyce, Kenny, Benny, all these other people. After we waded through that, we found the Bible section in the back. Can you imagine that? They've already been there. They've already told all those people their lies, that they can those poor people in Kenya can be rich, that they'll just have enough faith. Now, we went through there. Obviously, those Kenyans are doing something wrong, because they're not very rich. To go and tell some of the poorest people on the planet that it's their fault that they're poor, and that the reason why they still live in Kibera, the slums, is because they don't have enough faith. It made me angry. It made me mad. And I would just love to set some of those people free by telling them, look, whether you're poor or rich, matters not to God. And if you let it bother you, then that's too bad. But God's grace is actually promised to the poor. It's actually promised to them. And so, where was I going with that? That was pretty good for there for a while. Oh, but their doctrine is that you must, and their doctrine is actually a law. It's like the law of attraction in witchcraft. The law of attraction in witchcraft, and this is a big deal. In witchcraft, there's a law called the law of attraction, and it says if you think negative thoughts, if you think poverty thoughts, if you think sick thoughts, then you're going to be poor and sick and impoverished, because it's what you think. If you think positive thoughts and happy thoughts and smiley thoughts and good-looking thoughts and wealthy thoughts and new yacht thoughts, if you think that way, then the law of attraction says that will just automatically come to you. I actually watched an episode of Kenneth Copeland. Who was he on with? Creflo Dollar? And they were talking about poverty thinking. And they were actually, get this, Sterling, because, and I say Sterling because I know Sterling is notorious. If something is not quite working right in his house, he tries to fix it. Okay? And that comes from his upbringing, and a lot of older folk than me, their generation, they didn't have money to go out and buy brand new stuff, so they had to try to fix it. That's why tinker shops don't exist anymore. There's no guys that can tinker and try to fix your hair dryer or try to fix your toaster or your television or anything like that. They don't exist anymore because we throw them away. But he said that kind of thing. He said if the knob breaks on your microwave, but you can still kind of put it on and use it, he said you're poverty thinking. You're destroying your faith in God. He said what you do is you throw it out and you go buy a new one. And if you don't have the money, just charge it, because you're thinking the wealth to come to you and the bill will be paid. That's what they said. And I'm just going. And I'll tell you this, those guys represent the worst of America and the worst of American covetousness. And it says that if you want a Rolls Royce, go buy a Rolls Royce. And that is your positive thinking, and then the money will come to you to have it. If you want, and if my goodness, the new car that you have, if the little, you know, containers where you put trash, if that gets full, get rid of it. Get a new one. That's what they were teaching people. That's witchcraft, and that's a law. And so what did Paul say here? He said, he that do work of miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? You want God to work a miracle in your life? Just get your Bible out and read it. And lift your teary eyes up to heaven and say, God, I believe you and I trust you. You do what is in according with your will. But let me tell you where my heart is. Do you not think that God is so good to us that he will listen to you? If you just call unto God, God, I need a miracle. God, just raise your hand if God has paid a bill for you. Huh? The truth is, yeah, truth is, he's paid all of them. Okay? But you've ever been in that situation where the bill came in and there was no money there? And you said, God, I don't know what to do. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's what he said. Okay? And God paid the bill. I've had that happen before. That was a miracle. And all you did was say, God, I trust you and I need help. And you're the only one to turn to. You're the only one to turn to. That's the kind of God that he is. And that's what miracles are all about. But anyway, listen, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, don't you stop right here. Watch this now. Okay? Here is your account with God. And you're indebted because of sin. That's your account. That this is a bill that's been handed to you by angels. because you have sinned and you have an indebted account to God. And when God is looking for righteousness to pay it off, you don't have any. So Abraham had an indebtedness to God because of his sins. And he had nothing with which to pay it off. How did Abraham's bill get paid? He believed God. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now the bill's paid. He was with the woman and her son. He said, go out and borrow as many containers as you can. And out of that one cruse of oil, they filled pot after pot after pot after pot. They just kept filling pots and pots and pots full of oil. Oil was precious. Oil was money back then. And now she had enough to pay off all their debts, and they had enough, they had plenty to live on for a long time in the midst of a famine. That is God imputing to you with just, you know what? She believed what the prophet told her. She believed it. And God kept pouring in righteousness. Kept pouring it in. Kept pouring it. Just never ended. It never stopped. It's done by faith. And then Romans 10:16, but they have all not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It all goes back to the scriptures, the prophet that you have, the word, Jesus, that you have in your hand. John 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, I put those two verses together, and I want you to listen to this. You might want to write this down. In Romans 10:16 has to do with salvation, for they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And then John 12, that he had, though he had done so many miracles for them, yet they believed not in him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, Lord, who hath believed our report? And all of that is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is what the eunuch read, or the eunuch was read by Philip. Philip read Psalm Isaiah 53. The eunuch was in the chariot reading that anyway, and he wanted to know who this was. And Philip began to teach him Jesus Christ from Isaiah 53. The eunuch believed the report. He believed the report. But here in Galatians 3, Romans 10, John 12, the report is the word of God. It's the written record of God. This is, do you believe the report? Do you believe the Bible? When you believe the Bible, God will both save and God will do things in your life that you cannot do for yourself. So if you find yourself, after you have been a Christian, actually saying no to things that you never could say no to before, that's a miracle.
Amen.
That's a miracle. It's because you decided to put your faith and trust in God. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And now watch this. And I'm kind of running out of time, and I really want to get into this. So just bear with me. I'll try to do this very quickly. There were special miracles. Now, I want you to listen to this. A lot of people will pull this stuff out of the book of Acts and think that we must be operating in all of these all the time. Listen to the word of God. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. I believe that. I believe that. But I have yet for my wife to wash one of my handkerchiefs and be healed. It's never happened. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, the evil spirits went out of them. My wife has never, in touching any of my handkerchiefs, ever said, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Never happened. I would like to see that one. It's never happened. God wrought special miracles. These particular ones by the hand of Paul. And here's why I bring all this up. This, all this signs and wonders crowd and all these miracles crowd, I'm telling you, it's a setup. Listen to this. Three verses very quickly and I'm going to be done. Revelation 13:14. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Who is that? The false prophet. What does he have the power to do, Jim? Miracles. The Bible calls them lying signs and wonders. Okay? Revelation 16:14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Devils are spiritual realm entities that can do things that you and I cannot do. Those who practice ESP, extrasensory perception, those who practice telekinesis. Telekinesis is I can move things with my mind. The Force on Star Wars. See, if I had a devil, I could make that flower over there do something. It's not me doing it, it's that devil doing it. But I think it's lied to me and told me that I have powers, like in the Force. Okay? Don't let your kids get into that stuff. And you adults quit getting into it too. And listen, I'm not barking down the side of my head. Every time I see one of the Star Wars movies pop up on TV, I want to go, oh man, I want to... No. Because I was one of those people in line in the 70s. Remember those? When Star Wars came out, that was me. And I played like I was C-3PO all the time. I'm telling you, it's a draw. And I had to say, that's witchcraft, Mike. That's the devil's own stuff right there. Stay away from it. Okay? But anyway. And then Revelation 19:20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Notice they were cast alive into that lake. Okay? Miracles. I love miracles. I love it when God does miracles. Watch out for false ones. Fake and phony miracles, and devils can do miracles, and God can do miracles. When Moses cast his rod down to the ground and it turned into a serpent, what did Pharaoh's magicians do? Same thing. And so you would say, see, both gods are equal. No, Moses' rod swallowed up. Moses going, I win! See, he had all the toys then after that. Anyway, I believe in miracles. There's one sitting here today. I promise you. There's one sitting here in front of you today.